Amanda McLean Snipes is Director of Advocacy Programs at Equality Federation, and she's here to give us an LGBTQ update in her spin on our issues. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing well. Here in Oklahoma, that's where I live.
Tell us about Equality Federation.
Sure. So the Equality Federation is a national partner of the state-based equality movement. So we're a national organization that has member groups, 44 member groups across 40 states in the United States. So you may be more familiar with some of our members, like Equality California, Equality Texas, Georgia Equality, and so on. And really the Federation's role is to be of service to the organizations that are on the ground doing the work day to day. So we provide convening opportunities so people can meet each other across state lines and share best practices. And we also provide some really specific trainings and tools for folks to use for voter contact, lobbying, and advocacy programs.
How did you become involved?
So I started off as a volunteer. The Oklahoma member group of the Federation is called Freedom Oklahoma. And I went to a meeting that they had at a public library because one of our representatives was trying to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he was doing it by being kind of tricky. He dropped it in another bill, struck a bunch of the legislative language, inserted his bad language, and basically captured this bill and said, I want to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and was hoping that people weren't paying attention and that he could get away with it. Unfortunately for him, and fortunately for service members across Oklahoma, the advocacy organization was paying attention and got folks involved. And that's how I started off my work with the Federation, was just as a volunteer. And that was a great way to get familiar with the organization. And then I ended up doing things like helping build Freedom Oklahoma's website, et cetera. And then later on down the road, I was recruited to apply for a position at the Federation.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
My passion for this work lies in getting the people on the ground the tools and the skills that they need to do their jobs really effectively. So my best days are days when I can work with folks who are doing the work in their communities. So just to give you an example of that, I was recently, I ended 2017 on a epic road trip. I was in five states in less than 48 hours in one of those states. With Missouri, and I met with a member there is called Promo. Met with their field organizer, Karis, in Springfield, Missouri, which is this rural town, and we sat in the Panera Bread. They don't have an office out there. We sat in the Panera Bread and really got to work in mapping out what their goals are for 2018, how they're going to do some rural organizing and getting people involved in the legislative process in Missouri, as well as the municipal advocacy work. And I just love sitting, you know, at a table with somebody and sharing some of my experience and skills with them to make sure that their work has as much impact as possible.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ equality?
I grew up here in Oklahoma City. So I grew up in an environment where it was pretty tough to be, you know, a young lesbian. One of my brothers also happens to be gay, and I watched when he came out in high school. It didn't go well for him. There was a lot of bullying. He ended up, you know, not attending school quite a bit to avoid that environment. And the early 2000s and then 2015, my wife and I were able to get married in our home state. And, you know, just thinking about how the massive shift that we've had just in the last decade, I feel like I owe a debt of gratitude to all the people who came before me, who made marriage equality possible. And I also feel like I owe something to the youth that are coming up right now, because even though it's getting better and that we're winning, we haven't fully, you know, won lived equality yet. So it's not my responsibility to complete the work, but I also feel like I can't abandon it, that so many people made my life possible, that, you know, it's my responsibility to do that for the next generation coming up right now.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
it's really tough, but, you know, we've been under administrations that were really tough and mean and bullying, and we know how to deal with this situation. And what we do is we organize, we change who the policymakers are. So I'm really excited to see, you know, in the moments after the election where people were very scared and angry, now there's a lot of momentum. That moment has turned into a movement. And we're seeing people come together and organize and do things like pick up a U.S. Senate seat in Alabama, of all places. We saw Danica in Virginia win her special election seat, first openly transgender person elected in that neck of the woods, and she unseated the person who authored the bathroom bill. So if anybody wants to take us on, good luck, because we know how to do these battles. And unfortunately, we ended up with the leadership that we did nationally, but I don't think that's going to happen again with as focused as people are going into 2018 and even thoughts about 2020. I do think that there's a lot of momentum on our side.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
Something that I wish someone had told me was that it's never too late to start building a community. I personally did wait quite a while to come out. And I don't say, you know, come out immediately, because in some places it's not safe to come out yet. But find people who are supportive of you as a person and really just start building that community as soon as you can, and people that you know that you can trust who will help get you to the place that where it is safe. Part of my story is I came out, and my now wife and I, we've been dating for a few years, but we had the opportunity to move to Denver for a couple of years. And that was just really nice to get out of the community that we grew up in, and for me to find out, you know, who I was outside of that context, because that context was pretty oppressive and unsafe in a lot of ways. And now that I've come back home, I've matured and found out who I am a lot more and have more coping skills, and, you know, people here have changed too. So I would just tell people to not forget that they have a lot of power and to find people who are willing to support them.
How can people get information about Equality Federation?
So the Equality Federation has a lot of different channels. We're on Facebook, the Equality Federation. Our website is www.equalityfederation.org. And I would really also encourage listeners to get to know the member group in their state. So follow not only the Equality Federation, but if you lived in Texas, it would be Equality Texas. Or if you lived in Iowa, it's One Iowa. You can find out more information about our members on our website. And really just get engaged that way and start following what we're talking about. These organizations track everything from national policies down to what's happening in local communities. Recently, our member in Kentucky, Fairness Campaign, helped pass an ordinance in Paducah, Kentucky, which is a rural community in western Kentucky that protects the residents there based on their sexual orientation and gender identity. So I just really encourage folks to get involved in their communities that they call home.
What other projects are you working on?
Right now, we have legislatures, state legislatures across the country are starting to convene. 34 out of our 50 states have legislatures currently in session, and several more will come online in the coming weeks, which means state senators and state representatives across the country are filing legislation. So a big part of the support work and the service work that we provide to our members is we track legislation across the country. So that means myself and our team spend these next months, from now to about June is when legislative sessions run, reading all of the bills that are filed, so it's thousands of bills, and checking to see which ones are impactful for the LGBTQ community, whether that's anti-trans, you know, public space law, proposed laws like bathroom bills, HB2 we saw in North Carolina, to good non-discrimination protections like we're seeing happen in New Hampshire. So that's really a big chunk of our work right now is supporting, so not only tracking and flagging bills that are being introduced for our member groups, but also supporting their advocacy efforts. So stopping bad bills, helping pass good bills. We also do quite a bit of work around ballot measures. So right now, a big portion of my work is supporting efforts in Massachusetts and Anchorage, Alaska, to protect existing laws that stop discrimination or, you know, create an enforcement mechanism for non-discrimination against people, no matter their sexual orientation or gender identity. In addition to that, we do a lot of support around organizational development, which isn't as sexy, but is definitely very important, and making sure that our member groups have the boards that they need and the staff members that they need in order to be successful. So those are the main things that are on our plate right now going into 2018.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I'm always really interested in why people don't ask more about how the Federation has sort of a double layer impact. So what I mean by that is not only when folks support the Equality Federation are they supporting the work of our organization, but they're also supporting the organization of our member group. So we differ from other national LGBTQ advocacy groups in that way, because not only do we do national tracking work, but we also have member groups in almost every single state across the country. So what I would really encourage people to do is not only voting and register to vote where you are, of course, let's change those policymakers if we don't like them and protect the ones that are good. And of course, when people donate to the Equality Federation, they can have a double impact, because not only are they supporting the Federation, they're also supporting the member group and the community that they call home. But I also really encourage people, if they don't know who their current elected officials are, to know their state rep and to know their state senator. It is very easy to get caught up in what's happening in the national landscape, but a lot of time when you talk to your state senator and you talk to your state representative, they don't hear from their constituents that often. So you can have a really big impact by getting involved on the local level.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
I have one that sits on my desk that I look at in the good times and the bad times, and it's from the Talmud. The quote is, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now, love mercy now, walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." It's the thing that keeps me motivated when I'm feeling overwhelmed. We are an organization that does a lot of work across the country, but we are a smaller staff compared to other national organizations, and it's very easy for me to get caught up in all of the things that we need to be doing, and everything is urgent and everything is important, but it helps me maintain some proportionality that I don't have to do all of it, that I can ask for help, and when the days get tough, to just walk in humility and do what's the next right thing in front of me. So it's a very inspirational quote for me.